during the news at 7:30, how creepy is it? We'll discover why there are 126 pairs of flip-flops that can never be worn again, Danielle.
Oh, God.
So we'll get to that news at 7:30 or thereabouts. This is Tony from Gloucester. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Tone.
Tony, anything open in Gloucester? What's the deal?
Well, it's weird. They got the beaches. I guess the beaches are open, but we have no restaurants, nothing like that's open.
Yeah. And the beaches, like, are people driving there to go to the beach? I mean, there's no parking, right?
Yeah, there's parking at some, but I didn't actually stay around here for the weekend, so I got a place in Danvers I was at, but now, it's just madness. Like, why come to the beach if you're going to get harassed and you can't even, like, have, you know, like you know, go to a restaurant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you... Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to call and talk about the pilgrimage I made to New Hampshire yesterday.
Oh, uh-oh. That is going
went rogue.
That is going to enrage Ken Laird. I mean, that is okay. We have a border jumper on the phone, Ken. Okay.
Ken Jong-un.
What'd you go up there for, Tony?
Well, I lost a watch, and it's like called a G-Shock watch. It's like a military like watch, and I got it at Macy's at the North Shore Mall, and obviously I can't go there, so I Googled, and they got a Macy's open up. I think it was Rockingham.
Uh-huh.
So I went up there, and as I'm going, I'm on the highway, and I'm looking, and it's like right near the border of New Hampshire, and there's just like hundreds and hundreds of cars. I'm looking to the left and the right, and they're all Massachusetts plates everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like it was a glorious day, like that music from Jurassic Park, like, jumped in my mind.
John Williams trumpets blaring in your ear.
Yeah. It was, oh, my God. And then I get to the mall, and there's a lady, right? She's in there. There's a couple people with masks. I'm in my work clothes, and I get to, like, where the doors, and then there's another set. It's a lady with a spray bottle, and I got my bandana in my hand. I'm like, do I got to wear this? And she's like, no.
No. She's like, you're in the live free or die state. I mean, it doesn't it doesn't matter, but I'll spray you down with hand sanitizer.
Welcome to New Hampshire.
Yeah. I mean, it's right over the border. It's right there, Ken. You could take the family up there for a dinner out. Maybe go to Tuscan Kitchen, sit outside in Salem, New Hampshire, as I did last week. Or maybe go to Bernie's.
Do I get one of those lampshades that we talked about yesterday to wear?
Yeah.
Go to the GOAT, get a burger.
Yeah, plexiglass shield in your booth. I think that's going to be the issue with a lot of these places, is that a lot of their seating is booth seating.
Right.
And so in order to use it, they're going to have to install the plexiglass cone of silence over everything in order to be able to use all of your booths.
That might be fun, depending on with whom you're dining.
Yeah. Well, when you get to actual indoor dining, which is phase 12. Hello, Danny.
Hey, what's up, Greg? How you doing?
What's going on, Danny?
Well, just to give you guys a heads up on the whole haircut thing.
Yes.
So next week I have appointments for me and my son, who's 10 years old. So she told me the guidelines, only one person in the store while you're getting your hair cut.
Yep.
So I said, that's great. I respect that. But what am I supposed to do when it's my turn? Oh, your son's going to have to stay outside or in the car. I said, he's 10
yeah,
years
okay.
old.
That's ridiculous.
He's a minor. So now,
what was her solution on that? I mean, did the state give her any guidelines? I guess you could lock your kid in the car in the middle of the summer.
Oh,
So the two of you could do something together. Okay, yeah.
So I talked to another friend of mine who owns a salon, and he said, yes, it's true. That's why their salon is not serving any children right now to get haircuts.
Oh.
Ah.
Okay. Well, I guess. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't.
I know. Why couldn't your son, who you live with,
sit in the same store?
Right,
who you've been quarantined with.
Like, if your son's got something, the lady doing your hair, guess what? He's got something. Like,
right.
In what planet does that make sense?
This is Dr. Joe from Lexington. What's up, Dr. Joe?
Hey guys, good morning. Hey. I just wanted to chime in on what you guys were talking about, the study where, you know, some states closed down earlier, didn't have any difference, you know, in caseload than the states that that did close down. So you have to understand that the states that closed down earlier have a much denser population distribution.
Right.
So we're talking, you know, Arkansas, where people are already social distancing by living far apart from each other, you know, versus Massachusetts, you know, in the urban areas, Worcester, Brockton, where people live on top of each other. So you obviously won't really see a difference regardless if they do social distance or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that the argument when you talk about the difference in states is the density. I don't know that most states have at least a dense city or two. It's you know, it's like when you compare the mortality rate for states and people look at, you know, what you name a state, Georgia or Florida, and they say, well, there's no big cities in those states. And then you say, well, what about Atlanta? What about Miami? And the discussion kind of ends at that point. So, but I understand the argument, and I thank you for making it. This is Steve. Hey, Steve, what's
up? Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning?
Hello,
Steve.
Danielle, how are you?
I'm great, buddy.
The gloriousness of this day doesn't even come close to the beauty that radiates from you. So
you are a doll, sir. You are a mensch.
Listen, I'll say it the way it is. Greg, I went up to Portsmouth, New Hampshire over the weekend with my wife. We went to the Christmas tree shop that was open because she likes the Christmas tree shop.
Yeah.
The mall was open up there. We went in, and I'm walking around with her, and I'm looking around, and like most of the people didn't have masks on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm in my mask, and I'm sweating profusely because, you know, the mask makes you sweat. And a guy comes up to me and goes, why are you wearing a mask? I said, well, you know, you're supposed to. He goes, not up here, you're not. We were in the store for about a half hour or so, and then we went across the way, and we had a light dinner outside.
Uh-huh.
And you know what, Ken? I feel great. I know it's only been 3 or 4 days, but I got to tell you, everybody up there was smiling. I come back down here, everybody looks like they're ready to cry. So you know what? I think the governor should wake up and maybe do the state a favor.
All right. Well, there you go.
Thanks, guys. Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
Steve.
Live free or die. New Hampshire.
Welcome to New Hampshire.
Yeah. I mean, they have 4,000 cases in New Hampshire. We have 93,000 in Massachusetts. But percentage of the whole, states that lock down or whatever.
And hey, by the way, Curtis, this just in, cases in Georgia are up 26%. Now, I understand that they have also ramped up testing as well, but as they have laxened their distancing in major metropolitan areas as well as the countryside and beaches, they are up 26% over the past 7 days. Just saying.
Is testing up, Nick?
I said that a minute ago.
Oh, you said testing was up. I didn't
hear
you say
that. Testing is. I said testing is up, but also cases are up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's what happens. And
guess what? Just letting you know.
You understand that when testing goes up, the cases go up.
Not necessarily.
And just so you know, Nick,
they don't go hand in hand, Greg. Just like you and Curtis after the show.
Nick,
good point.
Nick, just so you know, what they should do in Georgia is they should have the high risk people stay home, just like they should be doing that here.
Yes, they should do what's good for their state, just like we should be doing state.
Do you think we're doing what's good for our state right now?
I think Mayor Walsh and Governor Baker have thankless jobs, and it's damn near impossible to do what they do.
Right, I'm asking your opinion.
But I'm getting to it.
How is that relevant to your opinion?
Nothing's relevant to my opinion if I can't finish my sentence.
We agree. They both have thankless jobs. Now,
yes,
what do you think about
They have thankless jobs, doing? Curtis, and I do believe that they are being a bit excessive in caution and overreactionary because they're afraid of hastening the arrival of a second wave and also dealing with people freaking out in an area that was hit much harder than they expected.
That is the new goalpost, right, Nick?
It's moving all the time, Greg. I can't handle it either, dude.
Hastening the arrival of the second spike.
Yes, that's phase 6.5.
Right. That's why we got to go 6 to 8 months, as the mayor said yesterday in our homes.
You know, for the foreseeable future, for the next 6-8 months,
wearing masks,
physical distancing.
Six, eight months.
Curtis, you can't even imagine how much this life sucks. I know everyone's life sucks right now, My life is just a laird shower of terrible every day.
Nick, I know what you're going through, and I know this has hit your family hard. I get all that. I'm just saying that it's what mm-hmm. we're doing is just, it's way too much. We have had an overstep of our government in a way that I don't think I could have ever anticipated.
No, and that's the thing. I actually agree with that in large percentage, because trying to keep children apart from each other during the summertime, not being able to go to some of the places that should be reasonably safe, where you could have a mild divergence or a little entertainment or something that's not the same house that you're running, which is a restaurant and a daycare and an elementary school, as your marriage comes apart at the seams and you become a functioning alcoholic with a liver the size of a veal saltimbocca. Yeah, Christ. Man, I get it.
Oh, wow. I love veal saltimbocca.
This is a living nightmare. I got kids upstairs with a fever, a veritably dead dad, in a marriage that is sunk. But otherwise, how was the show, Mrs. Lincoln?
So awkward.
So I'm just being real, Danielle. No, I can't care anymore. I can't pretend. This sucks.
I can't pretend.
And I'm doing my show in a basement on top of a pile of Paw Patrol toys. Somebody please come kill me.
My Lord. Don't you have a shed you can move into or something?
Yeah, I live in it, and it's owned by Tuca.
All right.
By the way, seriously, Ken, can you please in the next break, thank you, Greg, for the moment. Ken, can you please explain this 24-team format? I have visited 7 websites. I have no idea why they're doing a 24-team. Is this the version of a Canadian round robin? Do they have an exchange rate up there?
We
don't get it.
You know what? We will have Ken, the hockey guru, other than Curtis on the show, explain it right now during trending.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by our Subaru of New England retailers, committed to being a resource for our neighbors. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. Well, do you want to let Gary Bettman try first before
sure.
we nail down? Here's the NHL commissioner talking about the top 4 seeds in each conference. Of course, the Bruins are the number 1 seed based on where the standings ended 70 games in.
The top 4 teams in each conference will claim automatic berths in the first round of the playoffs. They will play intra-conference round robins, each playing the other 3 teams to determine their respective seeds in the first round. These games will be played with regular season overtime and shootout rules, with ties in the final standings broken by regular season points percentage.
In this case, it's the Bruins, Tampa, Washington, and Philly that will each play one another once.
Right. But as the one overall, the Bruins get jobbed.
Totally.
Why, I don't understand why one can't play 4 and 2 can't play 3 like it's always been. You know, like one would play 8 and so on and so on.
Right,
like,
that's what they should do. Just have them wait for the other teams to play in.
Yes,
get down to 8 teams per conference and you get the winner.
Yeah.
And what the hell is wrong with just having 2 conferences go 1 through 8 where one plays the 8? Or you shake it up and do a 1 through 16. You do just one mega tournament, and the Bruins play the 16th seed. Why not that?
The NBA is considering that, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
Now, the Bruins might argue we need some games to get the rust knocked off.
Yeah.
If you have to do that, that's fine, but just make them exhibitions. It would be better than making them count for some bizarre seeding where the Bruins could drop down to the 4 seed by the time the tournaments took off.
And then based on it's 10 or 12 cities that they're considering when it comes to the neutral sites.
Right.
Does anybody end up with... I mean, I guess there's no home ice advantage if there's no fans.
Right.
I mean, is there?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, Edmonton is considered kind of a clear favorite based on the ice conditions and... But, you know...
But they're also talking Chicago.
Chicago, yep.
Vegas. Full team,
Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Vegas, L.A., Minneapolis, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. Yeah.
Vegas would be perfect. And in answer to anyone's curiosity as to whether or not Vegas can handle the ice conditions, they had the Stanley Cup there a couple years ago when the Golden Knights made it and lost to the Caps, and everything was okay out there, right, Ken?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if the casinos may be open by... That's your lady, the Vegas mayor, Hillman.
Yeah.
She's got to get the casinos open soon.
Yes, she does. There are people that work there, Ken.
Yeah, I know.
There are people... You know how people put food on their table? It's called a job, J-O-B job.
Well, not when there's mass gatherings and outbreaks. The food goes off the table quick when you're heading to the hospital.
Well, speaking of food, I hope there are no pizza deliveries at these neutral sites based on what happened with Michael Jordan. I mean, imagine if an NHL player is delivered some kind of a tainted pizza or something in the playoffs.
Mess.
He's getting called out from multiple fallacies. No.
Yes, he is.
Dale will get to that at 10, as he always does. Latest on the last dance.
But what happens, did Bettman discuss at all what happens if a player tests positive? I mean, it's not going to be like NBA in March where one player tests positive and everything is immediately shut down, right? I mean,
the answer is no. That's the next step. They have to do the safety protocols next, but there will be expanded rosters up to 28 guys. So you can assume they're going to quarantine that player and next man up. There'll be an AHL player that takes his spot. Meanwhile, baseball still sucks. Baseball players unhappy at the economic proposal yesterday. You know, Mike Trout, who was any player that makes over $20 million in this proposal, Hillman, would get 20% of his prorated share. So Trout originally was going to make $37 million this year. That was down to 19, and now it would be down to 5.7.
Ugh.
So it's quite a chop. But
how's he going to make do with the 5.7 million?
I know.
Well, he'll get the extra 600 from unemployment, right?
That would make
a difference there. So. These guys are going to blow it for themselves.
They may have already
blown it. These
players. Yeah,
it's done.
This is their opportunity when it comes to the game of baseball to be out there first, and they're going to blow it based on greed.
That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEI.
Text about sports, Curtis. Do you think that's like a predominant opinion that the texter who says that they couldn't care less about sports anymore and they were a huge fan before this? This is, I guess, in response to the NHL announcement yesterday that they're prior to the pandemic. They were a huge sports fan. Now they could not care less.
I think that is, that is not accurate depiction of fans. Look at the two sporting events, quote-unquote, that we've had in America. The Last Dance with Michael Jordan and The Match, right? Those have been the two sort of sports moments that we've had during this era.
Well, The Last Dance is not a sport.
But it was. It was basically this, and I'm saying both of them drew record-breaking ratings.
Yeah.
Think about this. The Match with Tiger, Brady, Phil, and Peyton did a better number than any Masters first and second round on ESPN. It had better ratings than the Masters on ESPN. That is insane. Yeah. People are begging for sports to come back.
I know that was your lead yesterday, Curtis, talking about how crazy good the ratings were for the Match. And yeah, of course, just like when you say, well, they're testing more in the state, so numbers are going to go up. There's nothing else live on TV, so of course, numbers for the Match should be good. But I watched for probably two of the 4 hours it was on after that ridiculously long pregame show. I was compelled. It's Brady Manning. It's something to watch. They're magnetic personalities. And all the dad jokes and bad weather aside, it was fun. The thirst for live sports should be greater than ever before.
Yeah, I would assume that most people want, like, I mean, it's definitely a, you know, a distraction, right? I mean, I think it's, I think
it's something to do. It's not just clicking Netflix, praying for a new show to pop up. I mean, I think
thanks, Curtis.
It's great. You hit the trigger.
Tonight. Gateway to Greg's Cue. Jesus. Here we go.
Epstein documentary drops today.
So exciting.
10:45. I'm on that. Four episodes.
10:45.
Wow. Guess he's not running today, kids.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 80 outside today.
I have to get my run in either early or late due to the excessive heat. Daniel.
All the beard sweat.
You don't have to tell me about heat, guy.
What is get your run in code for?
this is
steak.
This is Dr. John.
Capital
Hello,
Grill.
Dr. John. What's up? We got a lot of doctors calling the show.
The musicians.
I hope they're being.
Hi, Greg and Danielle.
What's up?
Hi, Dr. John.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Good. Again, I know you guys have mentioned this before, but just to emphasize this, is that it's just like when before the COVID, is that none of the federal or state employees have lost anything.
Right.
And they all have their jobs, whether they're working or not. They're getting paid fully. Mm-hmm. Just like, I mean, that's the problem in the whole country, is that they make rules and laws for us that they don't have to follow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no question it's politically based.
You think so?
Yeah, I think in our state anyway it is. Well, so why are the rules so different?
So what you got to tell me what is the political intent of Charlie Baker or Marty Walsh?
Is the control of the population. If they control your health care, they control the population.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with managed care.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how in good conscience the mayor can stand up there yesterday or the day before and say that this must continue for 6 to 8 months.
And the interviewer didn't even follow up with it. It's like,
right.
Hello?
It's like, okay, next.
Must get the next question on this sheet.
Mm-hmm.
That was as bad as Hannity not following up on, so why did Brady leave?
Well, he did ask, Hannity asked Mr. Kraft, it was only three questions last night. And he did ask him about the, what do you call it, the Holy Trinity? I mean,
It was like the Austin Powers three questions.
The Foxborough Triumvirate.
Yeah, we can go ahead and listen to that
question. Okay, Tom Brady, Belichick, Brady, and Kraft, one of the greatest trios in NFL history. Can you comment on that?
Well, I'm privileged to have we're about, please God, to start our second century in the NFL. I'm privileged to have the greatest quarterback in the history of the league in the first 100 years and the greatest coach. So it's been a great joy to have this partnership for 20 years.
Yeah,
we're able
amazing.
To keep it together.
Oh, that's more on Hannity with a question.
It's not even a question.
That wasn't really.
We report, you deride.
What God. Was that? Yeah, talk about Brady.
Yeah. I mean,
can you
the
talk
way.
About that?
This is the way I would have asked that.
Tuca, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Actually, would have been a better question.
Oh, boy.
Would have been a better question.
Can you comment on that?
And he did.
Let's see. 603 text. Zero interest now during the current economic environment in watching a bunch of multimillionaires run around complaining about the disparity and inequality in America.
See, Greg, this is baseball's fault. Baseball is ruining live sports for everybody.
Well, I don't feel the same way about, first of all, the NHL got it done, and they got it done pretty quick. And Bettman said this yesterday, that they had great direct conversations with the players, and the players wanted to get back to playing, and the owners wanted to get back to playing, and everybody wants to get back to playing hockey. I mean, that's the great thing. I mean, but don't you feel that way about NHL players anyway?
They're much more relatable, and the NHL is in a position where they don't have, the players aren't as rich as baseball players, and the owners aren't as profitable as the NFL or baseball owners. So they both require each other, which causes this to be able to happen, whereas baseball is just everybody's fat, drunk, and happy.
Those guys, I mean, Blake Snell, apparently Blake Snell can take a year off, and it's not going to affect him, bottom line, one bit, right?
Oh, of course not. And you know, so, Greg, and you know how like Lou Gehrig took over, like, to get Wally Pipped to be replaced by somebody. That's what Lou Gehrig ultimately did, took Wally Pipped's position. Years from now, Blake Snell is going to be another one of those names that is remembered to talk like an idiot while on Twitch and to ruin the chances of a league while pissing off a country under quarantine. That'll be to Blake Snell.
Bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing.
Bro, I'm risking my life.
Oh, bro.
God. Oh,
okay,
God.
So if you're risking your life, then no money is worth it, correct?
Right.
Right.
Money shouldn't even be an issue if it's about your life.
If Blake Snell and other players believe that they are risking their lives by coming back to a 4-star hotel, being driven to the ballpark, and playing baseball with 8 other guys on the field at the same time, then The money should not make any difference whatsoever. It has nothing to do, has absolutely nothing to do with them thinking they're risking their lives.
On top of that, it's getting taxed.
And this is the same guy, March 11th of this year, who told Mark Topkin in the Tampa Bay Times, "I'm not worried about the coronavirus. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Either way, it's meant to be."
Wait, does Blake Snell also realize that he pitches for the, I mean, there's no fans that attend games at that dump in St. Petersburg anyway, but he plays in Florida where there isn't state income tax, or has no one told him that?
I mean, this texter says, why not let those guys stay home and bring the guys up from the minors who want to play?
That's probably going to happen. I mean,
you think so?
Totally. If you're giving the top paid players 20% of their, they're just going to sit out. They're not going to play. And so what? Let the other guys play.
You wouldn't play for 20% of $30 million?
Well, of course, I would. But
or 20% of $10 million?
Well, that's a pay cut for you.
big one.
I mean, I wouldn't. 508 text. Greg, you're such a pretentious a-hole. I mean,
no, we know that. Say something else, Texter. Give me something else.
Give me further information about that. Why? Because I don't. Because I refuse to take the explanation that if you're going to risk your life, you're going to need more money. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever.
So no money should be able to account for that, right?
Yeah, and how's
it? I mean, have you ever heard anybody who's really, really legitimately concerned about this call it the Rona?
No.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
And Wiggy just called in. He said, "I can't believe you're allowing that guy with such poor English to talk on the radio."
But the KBO, has anyone
heard?
I know nobody's really watching the KBO on ESPN, but have we heard about any mass transmissions or numbers of players being quarantined or sent home from playing outdoors there? Nope.
We know you are because you've mentioned it 100 times on the show.
It's a good
now
model,
he's
Greg.
It the KBO.
Yeah.
Korean Baseball Organization.
No, I know what it is. I'm just saying. It's like the KGB.
But it's a good model, though. I mean, like, if they're playing outdoors and nobody is getting, quote, the Rona, then shouldn't we take a little heart that we should be able to simulate that exercise as well over here, just 3 times as big?
But back real quick, Greg, to the I won't miss sports crowd. They're just trying to get a rise, I think, at this point. Don't you get that with restaurants, too? People saying, I won't miss restaurants. You know, my life's better without them. That nobody believes that. I mean, that's not real.
I think there are people who do believe it. It's like Devra First, the food critic for the Globe.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Writing that op-ed piece about how she doesn't want to go back to restaurants.
Right. Yeah, that piece made a lot of people unhappy.
Yes.
Her tweet is, I'm a restaurant critic. I'm not ready to eat in a restaurant right now.
Okay. I'm sure there's someone who would love to take your job.
I mean, did you happen to see the open letter that our friend Mike Shaw wrote back to her?
Yes.
It appeared in like the Southie.
Cotton Southie.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was on Cotton Southie. If you want to read something.
I'll tweet it
out. You're going to tweet it?
Yeah.
All right. Mike Shaw, who, you know, is one of the owners of Loco and all those Sunday fun day places in Southie, wrote a fantastic response to her. I mean, these are the thing that I don't get is that does she understand that that's somebody's livelihood that they worked their whole entire life to build and create? And that there's hundreds, if not thousands of people who work in that industry who want others to say, you know, it's okay to go back to a place. It's okay to, if you don't want to, you don't have to go to a restaurant. You don't have to go to a sporting event. You don't have to, if you don't want to, you don't have to. You can stay safe. If you think the safest place for you is to be right in your home with no sunlight, no vitamin D, no fresh air, you can do that. You don't have to go anywhere else. But there are people who their whole livelihoods depend on finding a way to get things open. and there's nobody listening to him. There's nobody listening. All right, you're sharing that on the Twitter feed for the show?
Just tweeted it out, yep.
Okay. This is Dan from Salem, New Hampshire, or Salem, Mass, I guess. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Oh, hi. Hey. I'm actually from Hudson, sorry.
Oh, Hudson, okay.
Yeah, so we need to be clear that there's actually a moral choice being made here. We all understand the science. It's not that one side is science-based. I understand the science as much as Ken. It's we're bankrupting a certain percentage of the population in order to save the lives of a much, much smaller percentage of the population. And that is what's going on. And the more we reduce contact, the more lives we'll save, the higher percentage of the population we're going to bankrupt. And as time goes on, more of these jobs are not coming back. For example, the airline restriction not to lay off pilots ends October 1st. Because of the CARES, the terms of the CARES Act.
Yeah.
But at that point, Delta's planning to lay off 7,000 pilots, right? You're not going to magically reconstitute the airline industry when a vaccine comes along. It's just not going to work that way. Mm-hmm. And what's frustrating to me is that those who support or who are doing the bankrupting, so to speak, don't share the pain. Like, no politician has taken a salary cut. No government worker has taken. There's a Boston Convention and Tourism Bureau, no doubt. Do we need a tourism bureau right now? I don't think so. So,
I mean, the mayor said no tourism for a year.
Yeah, lay them off. You know, share the pay. And, Ken, if you believe it's morally correct to bankrupt 20-30% of the population to save about 0.5%, that's fine. But then you need to share the pain. Go find someone who's laid off and give them half your salary. Ooh. You know, this idea that society needs to bankrupt to save one life, it's just not valid, right? There are 40 to 60,000 people who die each year of the flu. We don't do anything to lower that death rate in terms of shutting down the economy. So is one life priceless? Yes. My family's life is priceless to me, but it's not, let's get real, it's not priceless to society. Oh. And I hate this. Well, I'm science-driven. We all understand the science. This is a very transmissible virus, has a pretty high severity rate in certain populations. We need to target the protection and not bankrupt the country. And if you just think it's, Ken, do you think the country is going to magically snap back in November? Do you realize how many people are not going to have work for a long time?
I just listened to Trump. He tells me it's a rocket ship coming right
back. Like a rocket ship that's going to go up and everything will be back.
Do you believe it?
And Mike Pence told me it's going to be behind us by Memorial Day.
Do you believe it? Forget about it. Do you believe it?
Oh, we've passed it.
Do you believe it?
I hope so. I hope so. I hope that some of these people have been kept whole by some government bailouts and they'll be able to come back.
Call of the week maybe from Dan. I know it's only Wednesday, but good call.
That's terrifying about the pilots. My God, if we ever do fly again someplace, Greg, what are we going to have, scab pilots? Are we going to have rusty pilots? No,
well,
thanks.
I mean, the good news is Amtrak says they only need $1.5 billion to keep going.
Yeah, so, that's it.
You'll be able to take the train. We'll just add that to the tab at the end of our kids' lives.
I mean, isn't Amtrak?
You guys can add that. Ken, you got young kids? Nick, you can add that to the tab at the end. $1.5 billion for Amtrak. All right, we're way behind. I will say this. Forbes, there's an excellent piece in Forbes, which is a reputable publication. Is that correct, Ken? Is that all right to use Forbes? On 600 physicians, 600 doctors who wrote a letter to the president saying that lockdowns are a mass casualty event. Okay, mass casualty incident. So at some point, read that. Maybe we'll tweet it, and we'll be back with the news with Danielle next.
It's time for
good news for you this morning.
The news
in 3, 2, 1
with your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things: fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
News team, assemble!
Northeast Men's Health is now open in Dedham next to Legacy Place. Quarantine 311 coming up in about 20 minutes just after 8. And then Ask an Attorney with Larry the Lawyer at 8:15 this morning. And Heads Up for Friday morning with Wiggy and Danielle. The return of Inside the Warped Female Brain.
Yes.
From the old program.
Mwahaha.
A lot of quarantine issues, as Nick just allowed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of relationship issues during quarantine. And so we'll get to Inside the Warped Female Brain on Friday.
The governor got a haircut yesterday.
Oh, good.
Mentioned that during his news conference in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Very exciting. A lot of people can't wait to get the shape up or the trim up or anything that Wiggy wants to get. But you can get a conventional haircut, and that's what the governor did.
At 7 o'clock this morning, I got my haircut, and I showed up at 7 a.m. They took my temperature. I had to sign an attestation with respect to a variety of things that I said I didn't do and haven't done. The place where I cut my hair, or where I've gotten my hair cut, had plexiglass between the chairs. I had to wet my hair before I got there. I wore a mask the entire time. The gentleman who cut my hair wore a mask the entire time and a gown. And I was out in 20 minutes.
Sounds like the birth of a child.
It does. Put the gloves on, with the procedures.
So
put my legs in the stirrups, and he gave me the haircut.
You have to sign an attestation saying that you didn't do what? I mean, that you didn't go into the ocean above your ankles?
Karen Polito's house party.
What are you attesting to? And what happens if, I mean, who goes and checks your attestation to ensure that you're telling the truth?
They're not vetting these.
Okay.
It's not like a Corey check. Right. It's no background thing.
Yeah. It's literally more dangerous for you to actually get your haircut than it would be for most Americans to actually get COVID-19.
Yeah.
Seriously.
They're like, hey, we'll give you a haircut, but we need to see your papers.
No papers, no haircut.
I've been to Chelsea. Okay.
Now, speaking of the lieutenant governor, she said that she did not have any kind of party over Memorial Day weekend. She said that she did stop by a graduation party, I think, which was being hosted at her brother's house.
Okay.
Because he has two kids graduating, but we have some sound from the lieutenant governor.
I did stop by to say hello. It was an outdoor gathering. When I was there, it was spread apart, social distancing, which is allowed under the governor's order and with the social guidance that we've issued.
Just dropped off a macaroni salad or
Jello mold,
a potato salad.
You're not allowed to go anywhere.
How many people listening right now do you think wanted to have a graduation party for their son or daughter but
everyone
didn't?
Everyone that has a graduating kid.
Right. And it's just like, it's unbelievable. And the governor, he gets the first appointment on Monday or Tuesday when he does this. Like, are they that tone deaf?
Well, I mean, it's the place he goes to. The guy was probably excited to cut his hair. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe let it grow a week or two, Gov. Like, it's not that big a deal.
He's probably doing it to show, you know, solidarity with those who've been locked down.
Phase one is what we're calling start.
Karen Polito then said, I did not have any scallops wrapped in bacon while I was there.
Those don't hold at a graduation party outdoors, Curtis.
Oh, they are great, though. I mean, that's the go-to when it comes to apps, the scallops wrapped in bacon. Ugh. Or the stuffed mushrooms.
Ugh.
Wait, you don't like stuffed mushrooms?
Stuffed mushrooms I like. Scallops wrapped in bacon, no.
No?
What do you mean, Danielle?
Oh, I don't like scallops. It's a texture thing. Oh.
I'll
peel the bacon off.
Here's a text from Maine, which says, is it accurate that I have to show an ID for a haircut but not to vote? Yes.
Correct.
That is correct, yes.
Did you see our former producer, Anthony Spaz Parziali's rant about voter IDs on Instagram yesterday? Yeah, it was actually, I'll give Anthony credit, it was very good. He made a lot of sense. Yeah. Now, the president was talking yesterday at the Rose Garden about he recently cut the cost of insulin for Medicare enrollees to $35 a month. So their copay is capped at $35. It's about a 66% reduction in what they were paying previously. So there was an insulin discussion yesterday during the president's press avail, and the topic of insulin came up. And now the president is wondering if he should add that to his regimen of things that he's taking.
I don't use insulin. Should I be? Huh? I never thought about it.
But I know a lot of people are very, very badly affected. Right? Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Honest, jeez, oh, Louise.
By the way, this just in, France has banned hydroxychloroquine for coronavirus patients. So
oh, they have?
Excellent. Revisit that from a couple months ago? Who was your French doctor, Curtis?
The president. The president took it. He appears to be okay. Have you seen any signs?
Define okay.
Yeah. judging by his Twitter timeline, I don't think he's okay. He is losing his mind.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Should I take insulin?
Imagine the terror of a turkey crashing through a second floor window in your home.
I think animals are getting more aggressive because they've owned the streets for the last couple of months, and now they don't know what to do. Just like right through the window?
Yes, right through the window. It happened about 3:15 in Saugus. Nobody was injured, luckily. Unfortunately, they did have to euthanize the bird because that was a mess. But the homeowner, Paula Seaman, went upstairs after hearing a loud crash.
I thought a tree went through the roof because he broke a couple of pieces of furniture in my house that tipped over. That's how fast he was coming, like a rocket.
Like a rocket, just like the economy, right, Ken?
Turkeys are aggressive.
They're very aggressive.
Do you think the geese are more aggressive though? Like the the Canada Grease geese. It's not called the Canadian geese.
That was a Freudian.
It's the Canada Grease.
I think turkeys are worse in general, but Canada geese, like when you approach them or if they have the goslings with them, they become very protective.
Yeah. I saw a video the other day of this lady that was being attacked by one, and the thing.
And you wanted to eat it?
Complete irrational fear. It ended up, as she was trying to get in the car, the thing got in the car with her.
Yeah.
Terrified.
Good times. Yeah. I thought it was a turkey in the wrong ride chair. Let's get to how creepy is it?
Creepy.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents.
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put a camera in the lady toilet?
Back up, you creep.
A guy in Thailand, how many stories have started that way, was arrested on Sunday for stealing and having sex with 126 pairs of flip-flops, allegedly.
What?
Everybody's got a thing, guys. Everybody's got a thing.
All 126 pairs of them?
Yes.
Hmm.
Over the last 2 years, he's alleged to have stolen that many pairs of flip-flops from people's homes. He would take them to his apartment, caress them, kiss them, rub them all over his naked body, and then eventually make love to them in whatever way humans can do that to a flip-flop.
This is one of the two safe, socially distant sexual positions they're going to use. The hookers are going to use in Switzerland.
Correct.
This is you wear the flip flop and she rubs all over it from 6 feet away.
Now he needs a different pair every time. He can't reuse any pairs, so this is why he kept stealing so many. He didn't have any type or preference when it came to color or style. They did arrest him last year for the flip flop theft initially, but they didn't know about the sexual component at the time. So now he's facing a bunch of theft charges and he's being charged with breaking the local coronavirus curfew. And the photo from the police department with the evidence lined up is hilarious.
Tweet it.
Tweet Get that it out there.
Well, we should tweet that link on the show account.
We'll do okay.
Curtis.
Sex.
All right. Danielle, thank you.
You're welcome.
We're going to get to Quarantine 311 coming up in just a few moments. And then Larry the Lawyer at 8:15 or 8:20 or so. This is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Greg. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, you know, the hypocrisy of Toledo is just, it's like dripping. Because Friday, Charlie Baker is basically chastising the public not to let the warm weather entice you to ruin the trend of downward cases. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, Karen Pulido used the excuse that with the warm weather, people are going to want to just get together.
Yeah.
So it's just just crazy how she can get up there and say, oh, it was a nice day, so we all decided to get together when you were up there telling people because it's nice, don't get together.
Listen, both the governor and the mayor issued stern warnings on Friday about having a gathering for Memorial Day weekend in your backyard.
Right.
I mean,
and then she goes and does it. And now she says that there was, less than 10 people there.
Yeah, okay.
So it's her brother's wife, the two kids, her husband, and and four other people at a college and high school graduation party? Give me a break. Come on.
You have to, they have the deli take a number thing at the door.
I mean, she just
did a drive-by.
She just stopped by.
It's amazing how little they think of their constituents. Like, how they think we are so dumb that we can be manipulated. Like, believes a word she just said? She just stopped by, lie. There was less than 10 people, lie. It was all outside and socially distanced, another lie. What family gets together and stays 6 feet apart from one another at a graduation party? What are you talking about?
I did stop by to say hello.
Oh, hi, Aunt Elaine. Good to see you. Haven't seen you in 20 years, but I'm just going to wave.
Well, I mean, I didn't really think about it until you said it, Curtis. But do you think it's tone deaf for the governor to go right out and get that first haircut at 7 a.m.?
Of course it is.
You do?
How many? Yes.
How many people can't get haircuts?
Why? Because of appointments?
Well, maybe they can't get child care because you can't bring your kid, or they don't have the money right now because mm-hmm. they're getting paid on Thursday or Friday. Like, it's anybody. But the governor should not be the first person doing something that helps his vanity.
Yeah, but he's trying to do a show of solidarity. Like, look, industry's open. You can go get a haircut. But all you have to do is say that because there's tens of thousands of people who look like they were attacked by a lawnmower who I'm sure would love to actually get in there and get a haircut, Mr. Governor.
All right. Well, we will see what complaints were made on others yesterday during quarantine 311 coming up next. Beautiful day yesterday. Beautiful day today. It's going to be 85 degrees and sunny today. So go dip. You're allowed apparently now to dip your left toe into the water at a beach here in Massachusetts. So go do that today. But apparently there were a lot of cookouts yesterday, a big topic during quarantine 311.
Yes,
so we will get to that coming up next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.